Click on that. There you go. Hey, you got it.
There we go.
Welcome.
All I see is a spinning circle. So well, there coming. Goes nothing.
There it goes. What? Oh. It's Rich. Oh my God.
What's going I don't
think
on,
you
guys?
Have you never had? I don't think you've ever had your camera on.
Yeah, last time I
he had.
Did you? Yeah. I don't know. Your room looks different or something. I don't know what it is.
No, I think I don't know if he's used this
angle.
When you use your camera, I don't know if it's been on your server. The picture just looks way better.
Yeah.
That's all
I'd say.
Yeah. You guys look way better now, too, to be honest with you.
I got a new laptop.
Okay. It looks good.
And I'm using a laptop instead of that old webcam thing. So
yeah, see, I got to up my mic game, though, man.
I definitely need to adjust my colors because it looks a little high contrast. Anyway, welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I am your host, Henderson Mann. And with it this week is a whole crew. Oh my God, I can't remember the last time this happened. So we got Corey.
Hi.
Rich.
Hey.
And Shitface. I mean, Mark.
Oh my God.
Oh, this is going south fast.
Yeah. Well, you missed it when you left a minute ago, what Mark was saying.
Oh, did I?
No, you were there for that.
Okay. Yeah.
I was talking about black semen. Not the semen of black men, but if semen was black.
I think you just made Rich uncomfortable. We got
also
a lot of
just
stuff.
Just so you guys know, this is a shirt and not my skin. I know it's the same color.
I think your skin is actually whiter.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. You beat me to it.
It's definitely got less color than a white shirt.
So
I'm colorless.
So anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about and not as much time to get to it because somebody had to restart their computer. Rich.
My bad.
So I guess somebody brought up here some rants and news, and we got Nindies, and I didn't watch this conference, so everybody else needs to.
Corey's the only one who watched it.
Really?
Come on, guys. Man, I was out buying RC cars yesterday. Talk to me.
Plus, Rich doesn't have a Switch, so why does he care?
This was like 4 or 5 days ago. This wasn't
yesterday.
I'm
still looking. I haven't condemned the Switch yet.
They announced a bunch of indie games, or Nindie games. I don't know what they're calling them.
Nindies. It's stupid.
You just feel dumb saying Nindie, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really ridiculous.
The only thing I've heard from it is that the messaging around Kentucky Route Zero was all effed up.
Oh, well, I didn't hear what Kentucky
how
Route Zero.
Effed up?
I guess they were saying that there was confusion about whether it was a console exclusive.
It is not because it's coming to Xbox
I know.
One.
Yeah. And I guess there was in their messaging, they made it sound like it was, but I don't know. I didn't really look into it because I didn't care enough. I just kind of hate Nintendo and the Switch at this point.
Wow.
I can't find. I had a list pulled up of all the games that I was interested in. Now I can't even find that.
A list?
I've seen one
like
game,
17 games.
Golf Story.
Oh, wow.
Only because you posted it, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And then I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, this looks good. And I'm sure there are probably other games that look good. I just don't care enough.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that Golf Story game. I don't know why. It's like a RPG
I don't know
golf
why either.
Game.
So.
Oh, I hate the internet. Pop-ups on pop-ups on pop-ups.
Anyway, well, will you look up the Nindie stuff? We'll go on
I
and talk
it.
About... Okay.
All right. So there was three games that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. One was made by the people who did Mighty Gunburst Volt, whatever it's called. It's called... Jeez, this list is long. Of course, it's not...
That's a weird name. Crap. Jesus, list is long.
I guess I don't remember the name of that one, and of course it's not on here.
Is your list as long as Jesus's, Corey?
Maybe.
Is it in Kentucky?
It's not about the size of the list. It's what's in it that counts, and what's in
I think
it
it's called,
should be
yeah,
counted.
Okay, here it is.
It's Dragon, how you use the list, man.
Dragon Marked for Death. It's made by the people who did Mighty Gunvolt, and they did the remake of that Blaster Master Zero game that came out, or that Blaster Master Zero game.
Is this an 8-bit looking game?
It's not quite 8-bit. It's got a little bit higher resolution than the other games, but it's got...
So it's 16-bit?
Maybe, I don't know.
It's like 12-bit shit.
14-bit.
13 and 3 quarters.
It's a 3-player online co-op. so you can play multiplayer, but it's got the same frantic looking, you know, side scrolling beat 'em up. You got like a melee person, you got a long distance person. It looks really cool. I don't know, they don't have release date or anything on it, but that one was really good looking to me. You hit on Kentucky Route Zero, that's coming out. I've always heard good things about that, so I'm checking out this. They've got a really weird shooter coming out that it's a team-based shooter, and the concept of it is that when you shoot a body part of an enemy, you'll absorb that body part, so your arm or your head or your torso will get bigger, and theirs will get smaller.
I'm shooting everyone in the dick.
I'm dragging it behind me like a lasso.
And you play, man, when I get like, a hard on, I'm going to pass out.
The new, this is the new version of Snake, the updated Kodak version of Snake. You shoot everyone in the dick, yours gets bigger.
Right. Yeah, okay, well, that's not where I thought that was going, but I should have seen it coming.
Yeah. You
definitely should have seen it coming.
Should have seen it coming.
The man who officially hates Nintendo, of course it would come from him.
Well, I just have a sick mind.
Anyways.
See the message in Facebook?
Yeah, I'm still trying to scrub my mind into that.
I had almost scrubbed my mind of that. Thanks, Mark. It's back.
You're welcome. Was everything shown new, or did they show some stuff that...
No, they had some old stuff. Like, they showed more on SteamWorld Dig 2. They showed
they
more
show
on...
They show that game that looked like Advance Wars.
No, they didn't show that one. Oh, I forgot about that game.
I can just see like, the disgust on Mark's face.
Because that's one of the games that I'm probably most excited, and I would definitely pick up my Switch to play it again. I just want a date. Just give me a date. But apparently, it wasn't even shown, so who knows?
Probably. By the way, that game with the Morphe's is called Morphe's Law.
Of course, the father in the group would laugh at that.
Hey.
Dad jokes.
Yep.
They showed more SteamWorld Dig, which I'm excited for because I love the first one. Then they showed another game called Earth Atlantis. It's a... I don't know if it's a Metroidvania-style game, but it looks kind of like... what's that game that came out last year with the submarine?
Song of the Deep?
Yeah, it looks like that, but like more intense. Ugh. And it's also got a really simplistic art style. It almost looks like a... Original Game Boy like art style. It's got the monochromatic.
I hate that art style so much.
Yeah, it looks neat in this. That's really all the ones that I wanted to talk about.
All right, so let's talk about the other platform. Xbox One, I guess when the betas went out for Call of Duty World War II, at the very bottom of it, it said something to the effect of, here's your beta code for PS4 or other platform. And a lot of people made a joke that it was because they had a marketing deal with PlayStation, so they couldn't even announce the Xbox as a console that had World War II on it. But apparently, Activision has come out and said, no, that was just a typo. We didn't actually put Xbox One on there. But I think the funniest thing to come out of all this is that Reddit, the Xbox One forum for Reddit, they actually rebranded themselves for that day, other platform instead of Xbox One. It was, and they put a picture up. So you turned it. It says other platform. It was fucking hilarious.
I saw that. That's why. Okay, I was like, huh? It took me a second. I was like, okay. Then it was back to normal. Okay.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Other platform. That's the reason why. And we're about 2 months or so out, a couple days here and there, but we're doing the Extra Life thing on November 7th, the day that the Xbox One X releases. And I and Steven's coming down, so it's going to be me and Steve here at my house doing it. But also, I'm hoping to get as many of you guys in on that as possible.
I'm going to attempt to do the full 25 hours, I guess, is what you've decided we're doing.
Yeah, that's what it is. A 25-hour marathon is what they wanted.
Oh, I always thought it was 24.
No. They say 25, that's why it's Extra Life. Get it?
Yeah.
Got it.
Anybody that wants to join in during that 25 hours and play games with us, you know, just, and if you want to join our team, you can go to
the Maybe Extra Life. Fortnite will work by then.
If you go to extralife.org and you look up the team name, Oh Pixelated Sausage Indeed, you can join our team there. Rich, I hope you can actually join for a little bit if you can.
Yeah, I can a little bit. I don't know about 25
hours. No, I know you're not
going to. I got kids.
I know you won't be able to do 25 hours, but we're going to try to stream as much of it as possible as well, mostly on probably on Mixer because Steven's bringing down his computer so we can use the Elgato because my computer won't handle stuff as easily as Steven's will. So, but yeah, we're going to be doing donations for that. We're going to be gaming for 25 hours. I'm doing it the smart way this year and having somebody else with me. That way, if I need to take a 2-hour nap or something to get my faculties about me, because I did 18 or 19 hours last year straight and my hands couldn't even work by the time I got there because I'm getting old. So, but yeah.
I need to find a buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause, well, Corey, you're still young, but it's gonna, you might be able to do the 25 hours, but it's a lot of time to play games, especially by yourself. That's right. I need a nap.
Some warm milk, some cookies. Give him a quick nap for about 45 minutes. He'll be good.
Yeah. So anyway, that's going to be on November 7th, starting at noon. So we're going to make sure we got all the stuff downloaded for the Xbox One X because we'll get it at midnight launch and such. So yeah, so that's what we're going to be doing November 7th. Extra Life. Oh, Pixelated Sausage Indeed. So let's get to what we've been playing. And I haven't played as much of this, so I will let whoever has been playing it talk about it. Sonic Mania.
I suck at this.
Me too. That's why I haven't played that much of it.
I really like it, man. My kids put me to shame in it. My son Rick, he's the Sonic savant, man. He is just really good at this game. And I've watched them play a lot of Sonic, and when they first started playing it, I was like, okay, this is kind of the same old thing. And I didn't realize until maybe about 20 minutes in, I was like, wow, they've actually changed a lot. Like, you know, they take a lot from the levels. This is as an homage, but there's more mechanically going on. It's a great game.
I am pretty far into it. I don't know how many levels there actually are, but I would guess that I'm maybe halfway.
What level are you? Where are you at?
Oh, I don't even remember the name of it. It's a desert-themed level. Yeah, I'm on a train or something.
Okay, so you're... I think Ricky's a little further ahead in than you are, but okay.
Oh, I got to step up my game now.
Dude, I'm still trying to get past the movies.
No, this is what I've wanted out of a Sonic game, and I know everybody's like, this is finally the right thing that they've done with the Sonic franchise, and it totally is. I've got a huge nostalgia. I don't know. I love the first through third Sonic games. They're fantastic. And I'm one of the few who probably go back and play those every once in a while. I've got the Xbox 360 versions on my console, and I'll pop those on every once in a while. And this feels like playing the way that I remember the original Sonic games to play. It helps that the first couple levels are almost copy and paste out of the previous Sonic games.
Yeah.
But with twists. I mean, they've added their own stuff to them. But it looks like a Sonic game. It plays better than most Sonic games. And so I'm really glad this came out.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I figured I would just maybe play it once or twice and be like, yeah, I still suck at Sonic. But I don't know, man. It's kind of grabbed me. I still will pick it up for about 20 minutes and, you know, try to make it a little further. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I can see why a lot of people are singing its praises. It's a damn good game.
All right. So, do you have anything else to say, Mark?
No. I only played it, though, that first few levels.
Oh.
And I haven't gone back to it.
Hmm.
I don't know. I just think I realized that I never really liked Sonic in the first place. I dig the statue that came with the Collector's Edition. It's fucking huge.
Oh, you have that?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
nice.
The only reason why I got the game, because I got it locked in for pre-order when it was pretty cheap. Cool. I didn't really want the game, but I have the game now.
Yeah, and he was trying to sell the game cheap, and I didn't even realize I missed that.
Oh, that's why he was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it all makes sense. Yeah, and I had already pre-ordered it.
I was like, then I was like, I talked about buying it, and he's like, he never. I just missed where he said, "Well, I'm talking about selling mine." I would have bought it from him. But anyway,
the collector's edition was nice. You get the statue on top of the like one for one, maybe slightly bigger Sega Genesis, basically, and then it comes with a cartridge that has a little gold coin in it that is slightly bigger than a regular cartridge. Which is just odd that it wouldn't just be the regular size. Huh. And then there was a little metallic card, sort of like the day one edition Xbox Live subscription thing, which is nice. So
nice. Some of us played some Tacoma. I know, Rich, you played. Did you finish it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've only gotten past the first, kind of the first area where you meet a bunch of people and they're all having the party. And then
so you're halfway through.
Maybe. But I really enjoy that game. I just haven't gone back to it. I got so much other shit to play. I don't think it's as good as Edith Finch.
That's my problem.
But, you know what? I have a problem with that statement, Rod. No, you know,
did you play Edith Finch too?
Okay. I played it before I played this.
Okay.
Actually, it initially, well, okay, two things here. First of all, I had downloaded the game when it came out. I couldn't play it for like 2 weeks on my own Xbox because they had that weird glitch.
I had the same glitch.
Which was just, it just drove me freaking crazy. So in that time, I played Edith Finch, which is an amazing game in its own right. To me, these two games are kind of like apples and oranges, though. I mean,
yeah, I don't think they're any similar in any shape or form. Besides the fact that they're both walking simulators.
Well, yeah, right. And I got completely different things. I mean, Edith Finch is a great ride, but I think the way that they do the storytelling in Tacoma is a step up from Gone Home. Like, you know, I was late to the game on Gone Home. I didn't play it until it came out on Xbox, and I was expecting this earth-shattering narrative, and it just didn't really do it for me. I thought the thing was, it was okay, you know. But I think with Tacoma, that whole use of the augmented AI to kind of, you know, look for clues and listen to conversations and try to hack people's personal data at certain times. I really liked it. And
I did enjoy that. One thing, and I know where it's coming from, because it's pretty obvious that they're very into this, but I really felt like there was a lot of diversity shoved down my throat in this game. And I'm not
says the white guy.
Yeah, exactly. but what I'm saying is, it's like, I don't know. It was like, yeah, when you see it all the time, and you know the company, like, this is Gone Home, big reveal, you know, as you're going through that thing, you're learning bits about her, and I don't have a problem with it. But it seemed like in this game, like, half the characters were overweight, black, or in a homosexual relationship of some sort. And I just I'm not saying anything bad about that, except it just seems like it was, for a demographic of people, it would almost seem like there was, the percentages weren't quite correct. I don't know.
I feel like there are plenty of overweight and black people around there. If there are a lot of, if like it was half homosexual, then maybe that's a bit much, but a lot of blacks and a lot of overweight people, that's not really surprising.
Well, I mean, it just, I don't, I, and it makes me sound like an asshole. I'm just saying, it just,
it kind of does.
A spaceship, space station full of a bunch of overweight black lesbians, then, you know, maybe, you know, you can say, like, you know, this is a little bit ridiculous.
Maybe it should hit the treadmill a little more.
Well, but I mean, actually, that's one of the things about the game, is they're forced to do exercise programs, and that's one of the things you unlock, is like, and some people just refuse to do the exercises. I'm just saying, it just seems like there's so much.
You know, Rob, I kind of hear what you're saying, but at the same time, you're completely wrong. And this is why. I mean,
if you don't like it, then play.
No, I don't.
Exactly.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the game.
I don't feel like they're shoving it down your face. It's just that you don't see it in most games. So you're just like, this is in this game. So it's clearly they're just like fucking shoving it down the throat.
As a black guy, I thought I was like, oh, cool. It's actually like I can actually see this. You know, it's not just like, okay, we got a token like black person over here in the corner or something like that. It's like, oh, we actually talk to these people? Cool. You know?
I mean, maybe it also was like, maybe I was getting like, hey, there's two people that are gay and they're both on the ship. So maybe I was getting a little across, like, oh, okay.
Right.
Because it is a little confusing at first to figure out who the people are in a way. So, you know, you don't have pictures. All you have is these outlines.
Hey, mail to Rob Henderson.
Yeah. Rob Henderson. Yeah, that's my name. Rob Henderson. Some Rob Henderson is going to get like reamed out. That's just one of the things I noticed. Forget it. Cut this all out.
Yeah, dude,
that is the overweight white man from Kentucky.
There's too much diversity here.
I'm just saying God damn it. Just go on.
I think he should just move on to the next game.
Yeah.
He's just digging himself in a hole.
I still love you, man.
I'll give you a shovel. Let's move on. Dig yourself out.
Rock of Ages 2, bigger and bolder?
This is one I haven't played.
I never played the first one. And so, I never played the first one. And then Corey picked this one up because it looked cool on a giant bomb thing. And I said, hey, that looks really cool. And Corey's like, yeah, I think I'm about getting it. And he bought it. So, I
figured it was about time I bought a game.
Yeah, well, you bought Cuphead too, so I'm really proud of you.
Wow, the streak is broken.
I know, right? He bought two games. So
he bought like six full price games. I bought two $20 games. I think it's fair.
Hey, and one of them was on sale, to be fair.
Hey, that's Rob math, though, you know?
So, Mark, you played the first one, right?
Yeah, I love the first one. Okay. And I'm going to pick up this one. I'm just waiting to see if a few more things I order from Amazon ship, because I do the slow shipping to get those dollar digital credits, and you can use those towards Xbox gift cards. Mm. So I'm waiting on that to get as much as I can, and then I'm going to pick it up, because I love the first game.
Right.
It gets, you know, repetitive, but it has so much charm in the art style and all that.
The art style is fantastic. The art style is a very Monty Python-esque look. And
I think it's the same studio that did the Xenoclash thing.
Plenty of white people for Rob. Sorry. That's too easy to pop.
But there's basically, it's a goofy story about war is fought with giant balls. Nothing, nobody. Rich is gonna laugh at that.
I am. I have kids.
Basically, if you look at the Steam description, which I love because Giant Bomb brought this up. If you look at the Steam description and the genres of this game, it's tower defense and racing, and you're like, yep, that's exactly what it is. So you're trying to set up defenses on this ramp that this giant ball is going to roll down. And the whole idea is you're trying to do the most damage and bust through a door of their castle at the end of this ramp. And it takes several times, usually two or three times, depending on how fast you're going to hit the door or whatever. But you set up all these defenses to try to slow down the other person's balls so that you can break through first. And it works really well. I find it pretty hard. I don't like the map of the system. And since I never played the first game, I don't know. But it seems like I kept bashing my head against this one map and I just could not do it. And then I went to another map which had a similar difficulty, but it was way easier. I don't know, because every level is different, by the way that there's like, so if you're rolling this ball, it has some weight to it. So it's almost like a little Marble Madness, but you're trying to use physics to get around this ball around these areas by slowing down and speeding up and avoiding things that can destroy your ball, like catapults and busting through walls. But it's really fun, and the little cinema screens before each match is pretty hilarious. You know, they did like you're fighting people from history, like William Wallace and the burning giraffe, which I don't know who that is, but I'm sure he must be from history.
Let's find out.
Well, the burning giraffe is actually a giraffe on fire. This giraffe is on fire. Okay.
So I want. Okay. I'm gonna leave that alone.
It's a painting by Salvador Dali.
Oh, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I have that somewhere.
I wrote an alternate version of Girl on Fire about one of my friends who was actually on fire.
That's not
very funny.
That's depressing.
That sounds awful.
It sounds awful. And then Rob, then Mark's like, it was
funny. Yeah, I mean, you know you're good friends when you can joke about the fact that they've been on fire.
Yeah. You guys are tight, obviously.
That's a sick burn, man.
I've only played one match outside of the tutorial of it, but I will say the cutscenes and stuff are more polished in the first game. I don't remember there being like actual voice acting in the original. Mm. It was all just text, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it might have just been text and maybe like grunting or, you know, those kind
of weird
noises.
Yeah. Which they've got plenty of that in this one too, so but
another shot.
Napoleon was great, the fact that he speaks French and he's the only one who speaks French or
and then they have him doing the tutorial English. Which pisses me off because I and the text is so tiny and I have terrible eyes. I'm like, what the fuck does that even say?
If you like that Monty Python style of humor, it's all over that game.
Hmm.
And speaking of games I bought, Songbringer. Played a little bit of that. Corey's played a lot more about that, so I'm going to let him talk about this.
Isn't it Songbringer?
I thought I said Songbringer. What did I say?
It sounded like you said a song burner.
No, I think you're thinking of something else.
No, I'm thinking of what you said, what came out of your mouth.
Anyway, Corey.
Let's check the recording. Songbringer. So this is, I don't know where it came out of, like, it seemed to have come out of nowhere, as far as I could tell. Indie developer, maybe. I've never heard of them. They made a procedurally generated Legend of Zelda game, as far as I can tell. It's a top-down, like, old-school, original Legend of Zelda. But the map is randomly generated based on whatever you name your world. So, like, me and Rob were playing it together, and we both started at approximately the same time. And we were asking, like, hey, if you go left, what's over there? And it was something completely different than what was left on my screen. So I don't know how different the world can be, but it's got, you know, that Zelda trope. Like, even as soon as you start, you crash land your ship. Oh, it's futuristic. I didn't say that. So you crash land a spaceship on a beach. And the first map looks even like the first map in Zelda. There's a cave slightly off to the left, and you go down it, and there's a sword, and you have to pick it up.
Or you cannot pick it up if you wanted to. Apparently, there's
there's achievements that let you or that require you not to pick it up. But I don't even know how you'd play through the game without a weapon.
Yeah, there's maybe bombs and stuff like that. But
I guess I don't know. That seems like it'd be way difficult. But I've had a really weird curve with this game. When I loaded it up, I was immediately like, this is awesome. It's like Zelda, and it's great. But then the art style is super pixelated, but it's like, it's not like 8-bit. It reminds
me a lot of...
It's
almost like Atari, like an Atari game that tried to put extra layers of pixels on top of everything. Oh, it's really weird.
What was that Zelda like shooter that came out a little while ago? It had the same kind of art style, pixelated art style. I'm trying to think of
Comico.
No, it had a lot of purple and blues in it. I'm trying to tell what it was called.
Hyper
Light Drifter.
There's a similarity to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of have the same issue with that you have with this one.
It what's that Sword and Sorcery that was on the iPhone?
Yeah, it was
stuff.
Sword and Sorcery. I thought it had a way better graphic style than this does.
Isn't Sorcery.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So immediately I liked the game, but then once I got around the graphics and like stuff was hitting me that I couldn't see, I started to hate the game because I was like, I'm just dying for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But once I started figuring out the elements of like how to play it and what to look for, I turned around again and was like, this game is amazing. And I'm on the 8th of 9 dungeons, I think. And it's fantastic. It's got a really, really good challenge to it.
Like, it's got stuff like boomerangs, but it's a top hat. My biggest concern with the game is I don't like the way the sword works. I feel like I get hit way often because the sword has a weird arc to it.
Yeah, it's almost physics-y. Like, you have some weight to the swing, and it kind of moves you a little bit. So it's different in that aspect. But that being said, there's a lot of mechanics that aren't explained in it. And once you figure out those mechanics... Oh, God, dog, stop it. Sorry, my dog's attacking me.
Put your pants back on, man.
Oh, look, the dog found a hot dog. Now we know why they call him Corn Dog. Everybody should call Corey Corn Dog. He loves it.
Yep, it's the best. So, my dog distracted me. You should check it out. If you like the old school Zelda stuff, it's worth checking out.
It looks interesting.
It does. I've gone to this like 3 or 4 times. I was going to buy it and then changed my mind the last minute.
I'm just going to wait until it goes on sale.
And let's see here. Let's move on to the next thing Giant Bomb has cost me money on. Nidhogg 2. I picked this up after watching a quick look, and I never played the first one because the horrible Atari graphics really turned me off of that game, and now I kind of wish I had played it because it looked like it'd be a lot of fun. So, Nidhogg 2 is a sequel. It's a fencing weapons game where basically you're trying to go all the way to the right while your opponent's trying to go all the way to the left of all these different screens by fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to chase each other because if they start getting ahead of you, you can try to throw your weapon or something to kill them. Or you can just run backwards and then you'll actually appear in front of them. So, it's a lot of fun. And me and Corey played for about 45 minutes one day and we were laughing and giggling the entire time on Discord because we couldn't get the fucking PS4 chat to work for some reason again. So, but the art style is a little ugly, I would say, in the newer version. The characters look like zombies.
They look like Simpson characters without any features.
Reminds me of Clay Fighter a little bit.
Yeah.
And they like move a little bit like the puppets in Team America, like those marionettes or whatever. They just kind of like just dangling.
The jerky.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. I think the visuals add a nice bit of charm and personality to it and add to the humor.
Right.
There'll be times where like you will stab someone and they'll just be laying there and they... You have to wait until they fall to the floor to respawn. And I really think, like, I love the way it looks. I love the visuals. I like the disgusting. Like, it's disgusting in a very beautiful way, but I think the visuals can become a distraction and take away from the core gameplay.
Yeah.
That's where I think the first game is better if you just want that solid gameplay.
Right.
Because they also add some new weapons. I hate the bow. I hate it so much. If I get the bow, I just throw it. And then I try to kick him and kill him, and then I just run in the other direction with no weapon. I'm like, screw all
I hate you, Bo!
I don't really like the dagger either. I think that's pretty useless.
The dagger is amazing because it's the fastest thrown weapon, so you can really just mess
with it. Well, that's all I ever do with it. I just throw it, and if I don't, like, that's another one. I throw it, and then I go for the kick if I missed him.
Yeah, and you'll be running away thinking you're getting away, and somebody will throw that goddamn dagger, and you're like, oh, shit! And you don't realize you don't duck in time or whatever, and it just hits you, and you're like, fuck! So, but yeah, It's a lot of fun, and it's definitely one of those games that if you got a bunch of people over your house, you'd like to throw in for a little bit and just have, like, tournaments and shit, because it has tournament modes. I will say the online is fucking weird, though. Like, either one of you can pause. It's almost like you're playing couch co-op in your house. So, like, if the other person pauses, they can quit and go back out to the map selection screen and pick a whole new map right in the middle of a match, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's fucking weird.
That is really weird. Hmm. Are you sure that was not just like us making a game, or is that how all the online?
I played online against another person. Same thing happened. He started losing. He just quit the match and went out to the map and picked another match, and we started all over again. Like literally,
that's
like
dumb.
Yeah, it's that weird. And maybe that's something that they'll fix. Maybe that's something that was they didn't test it well enough and didn't realize people could do that. Or maybe that's the whole
point. It's a game best played with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's especially best played if you have friends locally that you can play on, you know, couch co-op.
Yeah. And Path of Exiles. So I know a lot of people have been playing this, I'm guessing.
Yes.
So
I have.
I have already kind of gotten bored with it, but go ahead, everybody, talk about it. Rich, start with you.
Okay, I guess I start then. You know, I played the beta, and I was like, this could be kind of cool. I don't know. I had lots of server problems with it. Once the game released, I don't know. Something clicked with me. I really like this game. And I keep on looking at it. I'm like, it doesn't look like a free-to-play game. It doesn't control like a free-to-play game. I'm still trying to figure out, what exactly can you buy besides appearance packs?
That's it. And maybe I think you can buy spaces in your inventory as well.
Oh, spaces in the inventory. Okay. That's the only upside I could say.
But
you
can't buy more powerful weapons. It's all...
Okay. Oh, good, good. Because, dude, that freaking grid for your upgrades and stuff is insane. I've never seen a grid that big in a game. That's like five games worth of grids. You know, it's incredible. I'm just going to get some inventory space because I like this game so much. I think I have to give the developer some money.
Well, I did give him $25, and I wish I had spent that on inventory space, because I think that's my biggest problem is seeing how little my inventory space is and how much junk you pick up and how much of it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I just leave shit there because you don't really get money. You get like these things that you add together to get
scrolls.
Yeah,
and stuff.
It's weird. Yeah. But I bought a baby elephant, so there was that.
Cool. What classes are you guys playing as?
I had to play as the witch because I got
you had to
because Corey was playing the other female character in the game, and as we know, I only play female characters in these type of games. So
cool. Yeah, I'm a duelist. I'm really liking this game a lot, and. I think I'm halfway through chapter two now. Well, is that where you guys are about, or?
I'm about halfway through act three.
Oh, wow. Wow. So what do you think, Corey?
I love it. I almost dare to say that I like this better than Diablo.
Dude, like, me too. Okay,
I love Diablo. I love Diablo a lot.
I do too, but I really like this game, man.
I don't know if I don't know if it's because I had low expectations of it going into it because it was a free game or what, but I just, everything about it's really solid. You know, free games to me always have like jankiness to them, and this doesn't seem to have any of it.
And now, isn't it nice when a free game launches free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's legitimately free.
And works.
Yes.
And isn't pay to win.
Yeah,
and isn't a piece of shit.
This is how most free games should be.
Talking about Fortnite.
Yeah. you know, there's enough diversity with how you can play each class.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, Big Steve, he picked it up obviously, and he was telling me that I need to do this, need to do that when I build my character, because if I don't build my character right, and because of the size of the grid on each character, like you could build the same character, like if you're same class, I guess,
yeah,
like 10 different ways, if not more.
But you do have a couple of resets as well. I mean, if you fucked up, you could always reset your character and rebuild.
No, it's not reset all of the points. It's reset one point.
Oh, right. God. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Take a hard look at that grid.
Yeah. I'm like level 25 or somewhere around. No, I think I hit 30 and, I've got like 10 points and I'm just like, I don't know what to put these in, because I'm afraid at this point I'm getting far enough to where,
oh man,
each decision, each decision might ruin my character if I put it in the wrong spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like it.
I will say it's the first season for the console, and Steve was explaining to me that like, when the season ends, your character somehow resets in a way, and that concerns me because I'm not a person who likes to play over and over again.
Neither am I.
So if it deletes my character entirely, or if it just resets the spec points, or I don't know exactly what he meant when he was telling me this. So I'm gonna have to see what happens when the season's over.
Oh, you don't want to be able to blow through new content either, you know. I mean, hopefully, everything auto levels to where you're at. That'd be the prudent thing to do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
we'll see. As of right now, I'm really enjoying it. I've been playing mostly with Joe Colesvane. He's been playing with me, and we've been kind of keeping with each other as far as level goes. So it's good to have a buddy.
Yeah, I've been soloing, man.
Yeah, I'll jump in there sometime when I see you.
All right, cool.
I'll bring you up to my level.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Mark, did you have anything to say about it?
I did not play the beta or the official release.
Oh. All right.
Fortnite soured him on that.
I mean, no, I want to play it. I've been really busy. I haven't really played much.
I could have sworn you said you really enjoyed this.
No.
Did you say Pillars of Eternity?
I haven't said anything. That's Rob has been enjoying Pillars
of Eternity. I can't wait to get my hands on that. But
so,
I did find the lyrics for my Guy on Fire song.
Oh, please, let us hear it.
Yes, we got to hear this.
You want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, yes, please, God. Okay.
I'm very proud of these lyrics.
I'm nervous.
He's just a guy that was on fire, hotter than the human torch, burning like Pompeii. He's living in a world where he was on fire, grilled over gasoline so that he could fry away. Ow, 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 ow. That's what he said as he burned. Every second it hurt. Ow, 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 ow. He's praying for some rain clouds to put this damn fire out. This guy was on fire. And then, you know, the rest goes. That was the book that I wrote.
What's the story?
So what's the story exactly?
He's just one of my friends. He's a burn survivor, so.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Well, not Alex. Oh, but, okay. Justin.
Oh.
I don't remember how we got to it, but I just started thinking of the song, and I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if I made a song about you, because you were actually on fire. And then I did. And I was very happy with it.
All right. Wow. Anyway, speaking of things that are on fire, Agents of Mayhem.
Mm.
So I was really hyped about this game when it first got it.
Yeah, you were.
Rob buys everything,
and I was like, "Man, this game's like, pretty
like,
fun.
This is the best game ever."
I did. I really enjoyed that first level, like, and then I like enjoyed like the little cutscenes, like look like G.I. Joe and shit, because I loved G.I. Joe growing up. And then I got to the open world, and I'm kind of like, "Okay, well, there's not much going on here. Maybe it gets better, so I'll do a few levels, and then every level looks exactly the same." And I was like, well, there's these new characters, and they have their own stories. And so I collected a few characters, and they all feel the same. They all feel like they have shitty weapons.
You collected these characters, like, oh, it's another fat one and another black one. Now this one, right? And, oh, God.
Anyway, Jesus, I'm never gonna live that one down. Nope, I've done lost half our listener base. I'll have to do.
I don't think we have that many overweight black lesbians listening to our show. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But I will say there are a lot of African Americans in this game, but I It was a fun game. I thought it could have been something so much better. And it's just the more I play it, it's like everybody character's got a triple jump. And some characters can, if you hit B, they can also do like a air dash. So, you know, you put the stuff together and you can get pretty high up. And you're thinking, oh, it feels a lot like Crackdown. And I think that's the problem is we've done Crackdown 1 and 2 and
they did Crackdown with Saints Row 4.
Yeah.
Right. And this is even seems like they did backsteps. They tried to make it more, they tried to double down on the Crackdown, but they just didn't make it interesting. I mean, everything looks the same.
I'll just wait for Crackdown.
I think, cause I even like listening to Giant Bomb talk about it, I think there were a lot of people when they were getting a demo or whatever being really surprised that it was a single player only game, that there's no co-op in it. Because I remember I said, like, oh, how, you know, I think I asked you about the co-op or whatever, and they said, no, it's single player only. I'm like, really?
I'll be honest, it looks stupid to me, but I figured, oh, if it's co-op, we can sit there and we can, you know, have fun with it at least, you know, laugh about how bad it is. But as a single player experience, man, I was like, no. And Rob, I'm glad to hear that you don't like it, because your initial impressions had me worried, man. I'm like, man, has Rob lost all sense?
Yeah, I everybody made fun of the humor, and I laughed at the jokes because I find stupid humor like that hilarious. Because that's just kind of like the humor I do. I do stupid, funny shit. And people sometimes think it's funny and laugh about it. Or some people think, what is this idiot doing? And I don't care. I'm there to make the people laugh. And that's what this game did. It made me laugh. But everything about it.
Rob is there to make the people laugh.
Listen.
Even if you're overweight, black, lesbian.
Listen. This game is like me, all right? It's got a lot of funny jokes that you may or may not laugh at, but it's dead on the inside.
Oh my god.
So
way to bring the room down.
So there we go. But
I did play this for like 5 minutes. I did the tutorial and then I got into the open world and immediately hated it.
Oh dude.
I didn't think the humor was good. It didn't click with me at all. I don't know.
I watched one stream. I was like, this looks like crap. Let me watch another stream. This still looks like crap. I watched like 5 streams because I had like money to burn at the time. I was like looking for an excuse to buy it, man. And this, thank God I watched the streams because this game sucks.
Yeah, that's why I tried to get out there as soon as possible and say, okay, maybe this game isn't as fun as I thought originally. Because I did like it at first, and I think there was something there that could have been fun. And I just feel like it's missing the thing that you set this world ablaze, you know, just to make this a lot of fun.
Right.
And there's a lot of burning things now. I'm just bringing that up.
Ow, ow, ow.
But I did pick up Pillars of Eternity, and I'm really enjoying that.
It is so bad, man.
The only issue I've had with it so far is in a lot of games like the original, like Dragon Age Origins and Baldur's Gate, you could kind of, it was a lot easier to set up, okay, I'm going to put these two people here and pull this person towards me so I can, you know, create a place where they're in between us so we can just bounce them off each other. And it seems like there's a lot of open areas in this game, so it's really hard to set that stuff up without being spotted. And the other issue, I've had with it is,
that's how much they care about listening to you talk. Rich and Corey are just having a waving.
It was my dog.
Corey's dog.
Your dog is cute, man. I'm a dad.
So the only other thing
I'll take away all the hate from you, Rob, and tell everyone that I hate dogs. Pretty much universally.
Yeah, there's some people out there that don't like black lesbian, overweight black lesbians. So, you know, I've got that audience apparently now. But
hey Rob,
and I just hate bitches.
I was seeing
female dogs.
Yeah, we got it.
I saw your picture or video that you sent us on group chat, and it was like 10 people on screen. Does it get overwhelming as far as the combat goes, or do you use all those players?
Well, basically the only reason you get a party of 6. And one of the characters had a bear.
It really blew it. You could add a party of 5.
So you can have 6 characters and an animal companion. Or I guess maybe you could have 6, you could make your own 6 rangers and have 6 bears or something as well. I don't know. So you might be able to have 12 on the screen at once. But that bear is a fucking pussy. Because it dies every battle. So.
Oh.
But the only other issue I had with it is it's kind of hard to figure out where you need to go. Because I've gone into areas where it's like, okay, I need to get to this area here, and I would be walking there and have to go through an area and get attacked by a forest troll, and he just fucking decimate the whole party. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? So then I kept trying to go around and find extra areas to go to, and levels are very hard to come by in this game. I'm still only at, like, level 3, and I've played it for a few hours now. So, but I think it's a good game, and I hear it's a great game because I've heard so many people talk about it when it was released on PC and stuff. So I know it's a good game, and I do like how it controls with the controller. I just wish I felt like I could do more of the pincer attacks and stuff like that. But it seems like, you know, if you're in areas where there's no other way around, they're like blocking the doorway. And as soon as you go in the doorway, even sneaking, they see you. They even tell you early in the game that you can sneak up behind enemies and attack him from behind by being silent, you know, hitting on the right trigger or in the right stick will put you in the stealth mode. But I've found very few areas there I've never been able to use that, because sometimes it's even hard to see which way the enemies are facing, especially if there's something like spirits or ghosts. I kind of don't know which way they're going. And it's always from the, it's always an isometric view from that same, direction, you know? So it's just, it's kind of weird, but I think it's a good game. But
any idea how long it is?
I've heard it can take 60 some hours to beat.
And I heard with the expansion, they have the expansion stuff in there too. It's like 100 hours.
Yeah.
I heard it's an eternity.
I'm dying to play this game. I just got to get through birthdays, wedding anniversaries, and then I can splurge on myself again.
Should have went ahead and pre-ordered it instead of buying Agents of Mayhem when you had the money, fool.
No, I pre-ordered Destiny because the kids wanted it.
Because the kids wanted it. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, no, I game share with my kids, man.
Yeah. The kids wanted it. That's why you got it. Not that you wanted it or nothing. Just because the kids wanted it.
Hey, I'll tell you around September 8th if the kids, it was me or the kids.
and then I picked up.
Come the end of the month, you're not going to be playing it because you'll be busy in Forza.
Sure will.
Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle is pretty good. Just going to hit that quickly. Everybody's talking about it. It's not as deep as XCOM, but it seems like it's just. It can be just as hard.
It sounds like it's more of a puzzle game.
So,
Did you say hell in this?
The robot says hell.
Oh, okay. I've heard.
Hellscape, yeah. But also, I seen a duck in a toilet that had on a bondage spike.
No, I heard somebody talking about this. I have to get
a switch after all.
And it's just a spiked collar. I looked it up.
Yeah,
it's just a spiked collar.
It looks
That's
like
not necessarily... Yeah. You get like a bulldog, you put a spike collar on it because it's a badass.
Oh, here comes the Switch police.
It's a badass duck.
Here comes Nintendo to ruin your fun. It's not about bondage. And the rabbit said,
it's hell. It's a wholesome spike collar.
It's a wholesome.
Sadomasochism.
They make a comment about the Goomba having a bidet because he's having water shot up his ass.
Ooh.
And, yeah. So.
It's international.
Yeah.
So.
And to answer Mark's question, I think it's more of an Ubisoft game, Mark, so it may drop in price. But however, it's a Mario game too, so I don't know.
Hmm. I mean, like those Sonic and Mario at the Olympics always drop in price.
But those are also by Sega, and Sega drops the ball on a lot of things.
That they do.
Those games are not known to be great games, even though they keep making them.
Well, Ubisoft games drop like crazy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's a Switch game, too. That's the other problem. So
Yeah. Nothing's really gone on sale for Switch.
All right, Corey.
I'll wait.
What have you been playing?
Nothing. You talked about it all.
No, I didn't talk about Undertale.
Oh, yeah, dude, I forgot. I put that on there. Undertale. I think I talked about this.
I'm so disappointed this game isn't on my Switch. It should be a Nintendo exclusive.
Rob, you can't find the fact that you hate Black... overweight lesbians. Yeah. Stop picking on them.
Wait, is Corey a black overweight lesbian? I'm confused now.
I am too.
He's trying to deflect, is what I'm saying.
Now he doesn't want to just piss off black overweight lesbians, but he just wants to piss Nintendo. Off the general gamer.
Yep, everybody who loves Nintendo.
With his stupid voice.
That was the Corey voice.
That's what I sound like? Oh, yeah, man.
Not at all.
I didn't know I sounded like that, guys. I'm sorry.
My name's Corey. Don't call me Corn Dog. I hate it. I make sandwiches.
I don't know. That voice is kind of growing on me.
I appreciate someone who can make a good sandwich.
I can make a damn fine sandwich.
I bought two games this month. Yay!
So I picked up Undertale when it was kind of early when it came out on PC.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't really play it. I played maybe like 20 minutes of it because I had a terrible PC at the time. And so.
And
Rob,
we know this game is super
graphic
intensive.
It's super graphic intensive. Yeah. So my PC had a hard time running it. So Rob picked it up on the PS4 because it came out on PS4. And I guess Vita. which is cool because I think this would be a fun portable game.
Wait, is it on Vita too?
Yeah,
it
is. It's not cross-buy though, is it?
I don't know.
I just can't get myself to turn the damn thing on. I keep forgetting to download it.
I can't find my Vita charging cable.
The love is gone for me, man. Find. I used to love my Vita.
What'd you say, Mark?
So anyways, Undertale.
Undertale. So when I played it originally, I was playing it how I thought it was supposed to be played, which is one way you can play it, which is where you go kill everything. But I had since then heard that there's a passive mode where you can play through the game without attacking anybody or hurting anybody. And that makes the game completely different. It's almost more like a puzzle game at that aspect because you got to find what words to say to everybody.
Oh, that sounds a lot more interesting, actually.
It is, and the dialogue changes completely based on, you know, the conversations you're having with the person you're fighting. So, like, if you come up to a dog, right, like, you're fighting the dog, and you can pet it, and it gets all happy and excited, and then eventually you befriend it and let it go.
I'm killing my fucking dog.
Thank you for taking the heat off of me, Mark. Thank you very much.
Yep. That's going to do it.
Yep.
No, but it changes the way the game is played entirely, and I think it makes it more interesting versus the boring hit the button when the timer goes to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob, I told Rob about this the other day, and he's like, "No, I hate the dexterity stuff." And when you play it on passive mode, you still have to do a little bit of that, but not nearly as much. So I think you really could play it passive mode, Rod. You should give it Rob. You should give it a shot. Right.
How much is it? Is it like 19?
It's 15.
15? I'm going to have to pick that up. Like it's after the show before I forget again.
It's got a great sense of humor. Like I see why there's such a big fan base behind this game because all the characters are just really unique and charming.
Yeah, Rich was going to love Sans.
Oh yeah, he's great. He's a great character.
Okay, I'm going to give it a shot.
He does a lot of dad jokes.
Yeah, almost exclusively.
Awesome. I can get behind that.
That's all I played other than what we've talked about, though.
All right, Rich, what have you played?
Man, it seems like I've been going in the Wayback Machine lately. First thing I checked out was the ReCore Definitive Edition update.
Mm-hmm.
I really like ReCore, and apparently I didn't have a lot of the problems with falling through worlds like other people did.
By the way,
did you
somebody
play
was
it right away, or did you wait after a few updates?
No, right away. I got it day one, and I never had I think I had like a couple of. I think I only had one game crash the entire playthrough.
Because I played it after too, and I experienced nothing, and I really enjoyed what I played of it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
apparently the problems that people are having with falling through the world is still happening in the Definitive Edition because it was all over Reddit again.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, sucks to be them. I'm having a great time with it. The update, you finally have the tank that was mysteriously missing from your robots in the original game.
Mm.
And it's kind of fun. Changes up the gameplay a lot. I haven't really unlocked any of the new weapon stuff yet because I've been playing a few other things too.
I'll probably replay it when I get the X.
Yeah, dude, I forgot how much I really enjoyed playing that game. That game has some great platforming in it.
Yeah, it's the gameplay is really, really,
really
solid.
Really tight. And I don't know if this is my imagination or just because I love the game so much, but it seems like they've kind of updated the graphics a little bit. It looks a little less. I don't see as every once in a while I get a little tear when I used to play it. I don't seem to get that much tear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It things look just a little bit sharper. There's also a whole new story arc in the game, which I'm just kind of getting started into, and it uses a lot of the mechanics from the robot and stuff, and apparently with the weapon updates and stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm digging it. Has anyone else touched it at all?
No,
apparently no.
You know what I don't like?
What
it's because I don't like this if this becomes a trend, is that. If you have Game Pass, you get an additional discount on it if you purchased it.
Oh.
I don't like this idea that, like, did they permanently drop the price to 20?
Hey, Mark, are you mocking? I mean, Rob, are you mocking Mark? Or were your eyes really itchy?
Oh, my eyes were itching. Sorry.
Did the price drop permanently to 20?
I believe so.
Okay. But, like, I don't like this idea of
okay, you want sales? You can get them with your Xbox Live subscription, your Gold subscription, but there'll also be exclusive sales to this Game Pass. So if you want these sales too, then you should subscribe to it. I don't like that. I don't want another thing to hold away sales and discounts.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man.
Speaking of prices, I remember this game having a really cool looking collector's edition.
Yeah, really cool
looking. And it was like $200 when it first came out.
What?
Good news, it's dropped to $128.
That's the majority with still every single collector's edition. I feel like it's been even cheaper. Because I remember like the Battlefield 1 collector's edition was super expensive, and then I ended up getting it for like $15 or whatever.
I don't remember that having a collector's edition.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Amazon exclusive, and it came with a big statue of the black character. Who, you don't have to worry, Rob. The black character from Battlefield 1 was male, not gay.
Hetero as hell, Rob.
He was he was a hetero male black man.
Something Rob can co-sign on.
That's right. got no problem with the black man.
Anyways, getting back to Recore. if you haven't played it and you heard negative things about it, I'd say just ignore that. And at that price, if it's only $20 now, even if you do fall through the world every once in a while, the game is so good it's worth the frustration. I really like this game, and I hope that Microsoft tries to do something else with this, maybe a little bigger and better next time around, a little more development money into it, hopefully. Because like Mark said,
see another Recore game.
I know, but
I don't have any confidence in Microsoft to create anything other than Halo and Gears games. I really do not have confidence in Crackdown 3 actually coming out. It might come out, but you know, who the hell knows with them?
You know, at some point they have to. So, you know,
well, they don't have to. They can just cancel it. Like everything else.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the platform to buy out, but they're going to have to at some point. So.
No. I don't think Crackdown at this point is that big of a franchise.
And also, I wanted to point out, too, that I said I was going to wait till I got my X to play Recore Definitive Edition. I did actually get an X pre-ordered, so apparently that is actually a lot harder than people thought it was going to be.
Yep. So. What, did you just get mail that it was canceled or didn't go through?
No, mine went through.
I'm getting ready to go eat Taco Bell like every day.
There you go. Do what you got to do.
4:22 in the morning is the best time to win, is what I've been told.
4:22 in the morning. Okay.
Yeah, why not 4:20? They blew it.
Because that's the time that the least amount of people are on to try to win. So.
Well, now that that's the best time, everybody's going to wake up at 4:22. And
yeah, well, you should have said it.
Well, you should probably get up at 4:20.
Thanks, man.
I feel like people are most hungry for tacos at 4:20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Are there 24-hour Taco Bells?
I'm sure there are.
You don't have to put the code in as soon as you get it. Just saying.
His joke was that people eat Taco Bell at 4:20.
Right now, Rob.
Well, I was making a 4:20 joke.
Look like you're putting a code in something right now.
Oh, no. It's like, yes, I'm going to get my free Xbox. I just told everybody 4:22. It's actually 2:11. All right. Mark, what do you...
Yes, anyways, really cool. The other game I've been playing is something I've already played. Final Fantasy 15. I totally just, like, lost interest in it. I got the first...
You know why you lost interest in that game? Because it's bad. It.
No, I did, but I mean...
I'm also confused on the title of this game.
So you finished it and now you're playing it again?
Huh? Yeah, well, here's the thing. They've been adding updates to this thing. Like, they do events. So I did, like, a festival event, and it was really dumb. It was just, like, looking at chocobos and, oh, isn't that cute, and all these mini games. Well, an Assassin's Creed one came out. And it was free, so I was like, oh, let me give it a shot. And I have to say... They did a really good job of bringing Assassin's Creed into Final Fantasy 15.
Two great things you didn't even know wanted to be together.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I'm looking at it. I'm like, where is the marketing tie-in? Like, the companies are, like, completely different from one another. I don't know how this happened, but I got to say, I'm glad it did. It actually works out pretty well. Basically, you're playing in-game with the entire crew, and you go to that – I forget the name of that town that they hang out in a lot, but apparently there's an Assassin's Creed festival going on there, and you show up there, and you know you're all like, hey, you get in the spirit of things, you get all dressed up, and then all of a sudden the bad guys, the whatever, from whatever empire, the bad empire guys show up, and then you have to go undercover and assassinate these guys and help.
Are they they dressed as Templars?
Yeah, they are. It's nice. Cool. It's
so
cool.
Weird.
No, it's weird, but it's kind of cool at the same time. And like, you know, you have the eagle view thing you got to do. You get to do the leap of faith. You get to do kind of like poor man's parkour.
So does it change the gameplay then?
It like, does.
Play more jumping. Like Assassin's Creed?
Yes. There's jumping
That's
and stuff.
Weird.
It's free and there's a ton of voice acting and stuff in it and cutscenes. It's actually...
Are these events
free?
A limited time thing or do they remain in the game?
Yeah, they're limited time.
So things. When the time is over, they're gone. They remove it.
Yeah. So I would definitely check this out. I mean, if you have the game, it's free. I was like, what the hell? I got a 3-day weekend. Let me check this out. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. I wasn't expecting to be as blown out as it was. So that's the other thing I've been playing. Everything else I've been kind of playing, I've dabbled too little to even talk about now. Hopefully I can talk about it next show. That's what I got.
All right. Mark, you got anything?
I haven't played some Observer and probably like 4 hours did my first mind hacked or whatever. And this is a game that is from the developers of Layers of Fear.
And I love that art style. That looks like a cool game.
It's fine. I mean, the visuals are a bit muddy on Xbox One, and there's some frame rate issues, especially at the time.
I heard the same on PS4 as well.
But you play this like future detective played by the bad guy from Blade Runner, whatever his name is.
Rutger Hauer.
And
no, seriously.
I laugh. I'm like, this, he's in it.
You have this ability, you're one of these special detectives who can hack, sort of, it's not really hacking, but you can go into people's minds in order to sort of solve mysteries and crimes and whatnot. And you end up in this apartment complex. I think that's where the entire game takes place, and you're just trying to figure things out and solve a few murders and some mysteries and stuff. And it's really interesting. It's the story is way more compelling than I expected, coming off of Layers of Fear, which was very, you know, routine. It was just, it had a lot of
atmosphere,
cool little set pieces and stuff, and atmosphere. Yeah. But it got very repetitive because it's just like, okay, find this object. Now you go through this area. Okay, now this area is going to be a bunch of dolls. You get this object, and you know, it's just these different things. But this is much more—it's much more open than I was expecting to. And there's a lot of voice acting, and the Rutger Hauer guy or whatever—he sounds like he really doesn't give a shit. Which is—it doesn't sound bad, really, but he just sort of sounds like. I mean, it sort of suits the character of just like this old detective who's been, you know, working for a longest time. It's just like, oh God, why do I have to go around this fucking stupid apartment complex? And it just sounds like he was, you know, they brought him in maybe a few times. And he's just like, fuck, what is this stupid fucking game I'm doing? There's a bunch of, and it's very, very Polish in that. I'm pretty sure it has to take place in Poland because
it does.
Like 85% of the inhabitants of the apartment complex, their last name ends in ski. I'm like, fucking hell, look at all these goddamn skis.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be like futuristic Warsaw or something like that.
It's really cool. Aside, you know, if you ignore the technical issues on consoles, because like when I went to the first mine, it was very, very trippy. And it was just, it's really cool. And it's not like, I know there are some points where I guess you can get a game over thing, but like Layers of Fear, it's more about the experience and the story and the atmosphere, and not really about, okay, we're gonna have this giant monster chasing you all the time.
Okay.
And it so far doesn't seem to be too difficult puzzle wise. This could be a slight spoiler for somebody who doesn't want to know anything about puzzles, but in the first line you go into an example of a type of puzzle is that you get into this room, and if you go through any of the doors, once you hit this room, you just keep ending up in the same room over and over again. And there's a TV screen that turns on when you enter there. And on the TV screen will be a doorway. So you have to go through that door. And then when you go through that door, you'll end up in the room again, but it'll show you a different door. So you have to do that a few times to get out of that area.
So you have to keep paying attention to what's on the TV screen. It'll give you like maybe a little corner of the door and some kind of object on the wall or something that will be able to help you pick out which one it is. But I'm liking it. I just wish it was a bit more technically proficient.
Well, if you remember, Layers of Fear was not very technically proficient.
Yeah, I heard that they never really fixed it, but I don't remember having that many problems with it.
I didn't either. You know, though, I played it early access, maybe, too. Yeah, see, I didn't. Yeah, because I remember you guys were talking about all the tearing. Like, you guys did the early access. Yeah. I remember that. Now, did either of you guys do the DLC for Layers of Fear?
I didn't finish it. I didn't like it.
It was even more repetitive because it was just really one note.
Yep. And I just got so sick of being in this stupid like Alice in Wonderland area and just like, okay, follow the path.
I don't care.
This is so annoying. And this stupid thing on like a train track that's like, don't run into this paper cutout. Fucking who cares?
Oh, quick thing. I did play the first, I haven't finished it yet, but I played like the first half of The Life is Strange Before the Storm. It's a little weird.
Oh, it's okay the lesbians it's are the white. White
young teenage lesbian.
It does, yeah, you don't,
they're black and a little chunky.
She doesn't have to be a lesbian. You choose to make the kiss in the first game, okay? It's up to you. Then it's your choice.
Oh, so, are you taking her to
what was your choice, Rob?
Reorientation church or something, Rob?
What was your choice, Rob?
I plead the fifth.
We know.
He's like, oh man, she's white and she's skinny. Oh God, I want to see her kiss another white skinny girl.
Yeah.
But
if the character he could have kissed was an overweight black lesbian, like, you're straight as hell. What do you think of this first episode?
Dude, what would you say?
What do you think of the first episode of whatever Life is Strange?
Well, I've only played like probably maybe a third of it or half. The dialogue is way more cringy than the first game because you're playing as Chloe, who was the rebel type of character. And so it doesn't have any of the time travel stuff of the first game. Instead, its big feature is insult battles.
I thought it was sassy, the sassy meter or some shit like that.
So basically you'll
sassometer.
You'll start an argument with somebody and the whole idea is to listen to what they say and then play off of it so that you get a higher, that you insult them and they don't insult you. And eventually you insult them enough where they just give up.
That reminds me, I played that one game that came out, the Insult Simulator or whatever.
How was that, man?
That game is, you can play it like for 15 minutes and then you've played it for 15 hours. You don't need to play it ever again.
Okay.
I mean, if you want some easy achievements and you want to just, I mean, it's like $3, so whatever.
To get back to Life is Strange, though, real quick, is that I don't think it's a bad game. The dialogue's a little cringy at first, but you do get a lot of backstory and why Chloe treats her family or treats her mom like she does and how her mom actually treats her and how the relationship dynamic that they actually have. And it's really an interesting, if you like the first game, then you're going to want to know enough about the characters to play this one as well.
And three episodes.
And if you bought the collector's edition, there's going to be a fourth episode with Max, and I'm not sure how that fits into the whole thing. But
the first game didn't do anything for me. I tried to get into Life is Strange, but I'm just an old black dad.
That's right. So you don't understand white. You don't understand white lesbians.
I'm an old black dad.
You don't understand skinny white lesbians. So you know, I understand.
No, I have the ages thing going. I think I'm just that. You know, I got kids.
I didn't really like it all that much either.
I'm just like, I don't know.
It's a little bit
like,
too.
Well, it was
history.
My game of the year, so fuck all
fine.
Y'all.
Like, it's one of those things that just to me is a little bit overwritten and trying too hard, and I just don't like it. But I'm like,
I'm with you.
I don't like that kind of stuff. Like, I don't like Juno, which most people love. Yeah. I hate that.
But guys, we need to really just wrap this up though, because I got to get to work.
Okay.
So
we got nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, let's get our plugs in. Mark, Rich. We'll go let Rich. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. Listen to Sports Car Unleashed if you're into sports car racing, which you're probably not if you listen to this show. But you can check it out. But you can catch that on Twitter, on iTunes, all those other places. And I'm Rolex DP Racer. Man, I need friends on the East Coast who will actually play when I'm around. So friend me, please.
All right, Mark.
I am at PX Sausage pretty much everywhere. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast and the Pixelated Sausage podcast, which is the one I do all by myself. And I talked about, the last one I talked about, mental health and this game, The Town of Light, which is a very interesting game, more of an experience, but it tackles mental health. And it's cool to see more games dealing with that subject and the subject matter. And also, I mean, it's a few days still, it's through the September 6th, but if that game does interest you, if you purchase it anywhere, 25% of that will be going towards the Take This charity and other mental health charities, so that's cool as well.
That's a good charity. I like it.
That's good. Yeah.
And if you'd like to support the site in general, patreon.com/PXS.
All right, Corey.
Same stuff as always. Follow me on Wolfnut on pretty much everything. Still trying to sell my house. So, you know anybody who wants
keep
to
keep hope
house.
Alive, man. Someone will, the right person to come.
I had to fire my realtor because she was.
Well, you don't probably want to talk about that on here. That's pretty.
Yeah.
And Corey does not discriminate. If you are an overweight black lesbian looking for a house, she's more than willing to sell it to you.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Rob, your plugs?
Pixelated Paranormal.
He's done.
Yeah. Pixelated Paranormal with me and Corey. Sean.
I'm the host of Pixelated Paranormal.
And O Indeed Podcast and Big Steven.
That's why you can't tell the house. It's haunted.
No, Preston's no longer host.
No, Preston's still there. Yeah.
There you go.
Corey, yeah. Sean, I thought I said Sean and Preston.
Oh.
Mm.
But and also, you know, O Indeed Podcast with Big Steven. And Brady.
Which comes out like just randomly whenever.
Yeah.
I
feel like it only comes out when people are like, where's the most recent episode? There hasn't been an episode in a while. Oh shit, we gotta do one.
Yeah. And the main event podcast, the Beer and Wrestling podcast, which I was on. It was fun. Very fun. Talked a lot about the paranormal stuff and video games and such. Not much about wrestling because I don't even watch wrestling anymore. So.
Did you pick up Lego City Undercover on Xbox One?
Not yet.
It's on sale right now. I can get it for $24. I'm like, should I?
I would get that for
$24. That's a steal, man.
Where's it on sale at?
Best Buy. So it's $30, and then with the Gamers Club unlocked, 20% discount.
So just go in there and use Mark's phone number, and you get your his discount.
Go ahead. I get the reward points.
I know. All right, guys. That's going to be it for the show. I hope everybody has a good night. And God, I
unless
hope you
you're
an
overweight black lady.
God, stop!
All right, take it easy, guys.